For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Thank the Lord. Yes, good job. Good afternoon. How's everybody doing? Thank God for the worship team. They're so amazing. They get this place prepared, don't they? We got this little prop coming out real quick. Let me move this over just a hair. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Well, how's everybody doing this evening? Good. Good. I'm going to pray right now while they're getting ready here. And let's just believe in God. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. God, the worship team, they came in and already prepared us to worship you and open up our hearts to you, God. So I just pray you take over this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you see here my title, Miracle at the Door. I always pray and I hope that when you leave here, if you're saved or you're not saved or you just got saved, that you leave here encouraged to serve God, get to know more about God. If you're a seasoned Christian that's been serving God your whole life or you just got saved on Easter, never stop trying to grow. Never stop putting your own self in a position to grow. Because you know what happens? I seen it during the pandemic. I seen two things what took place. I seen some believers fall away from God because we were finally in a place of somewhat persecution, weren't we? Man, when they finally shut these doors and we couldn't come in, that was real. We felt that. And in America, we don't think we ever get put in those kind of situations. We couldn't gather together. They didn't even want us to sing. And so we all of us experienced that persecution. But I've seen two things happen. I've seen a lot of people fall away from God. A lot of people. Great people that I knew that had been serving God for many years just fell away. But then I've seen a lot of people, probably a little bit more than those that walked away, draw more closer to God. Develop more of a passion and a desire for God. Because see, we didn't realize how blessed we were, did we? We didn't realize how blessed God has used Pastor Ron all these years to even have a place like this. And then when we lost it, quickly, kind of opened up our eyes a little bit. So I just want to talk about that. How God is in the miracle working business today. And all of us right now, we are miracles. That's why you're sitting here. Amen? You're a miracle from God. You're a miracle that you were able to get up this morning and walk into this service today. Amen. I'm going to open up with this. Have you ever heard of the Publishers Clearing House sweepstakes? I remember my granny, man. She would consistently get them things in the mail and send them out consistently. A lot of you know what I'm talking about. You can enter it now online, make it a little easier. It's still by mail. Listen to this. If all of us went online right now and only participated one time in that lottery, here's the odds of us winning. Listen to this. If you just sent it one time, your odds of winning are about 1 in 1.7 billion. It's a lot. But listen, it's an interesting story. I read this story, a true story. They call her Sweepster. You even get names when you're addicted to this stuff, right? And they had communities, like we have Bible studies, to get people together. And this lady, it was interesting. She built communities of people and helped them to do these sweepstakes and send them out. She helped them mail them out. And she did it for so many years with this passion, they said, and this drive. And here comes Sweepster. But little by little, she never won anything. So she started losing her desire and passion just a little bit. Over the years, they didn't even call her Sweepster no more because they didn't see her. And one day, true story, she was at home, they said, making dinner, cutting up some vegetables. And guess what happened? It was a knock on the door. See, she wasn't expecting nobody, so guess what she did not do? She didn't open the door. And I don't know if some of you guys are familiar with this. They call them the Price Patrol Team. They get them, they're all in suits and ties and balloons, and they're coming to give her whatever, how much money she won that day. And they kept knocking and knocking, and she kept ignoring. Eventually she got her money, but not in the way. She didn't get to experience the party and the celebration that she was just desiring for so long. She was so passionate and driven. Doesn't this sound like our walk with God sometimes? That we are so passionate and we're so focused and we're so driven. And the miracle sometimes is right in front of us, and then we just throw in the towel. So I'm praying in the name of Jesus that you leave here so passionate and driven, get your fire back for God and understand he loves you and you are a miracle. And that's why you walked in here, give God some praise in this place. That's what you are, amen. So old Sweepster didn't get that big old celebration. But she got the knock at the door. I want us to look. We're gonna end up in Acts 12. That's our main chapter today. But I want us to look at a few things. Because let me encourage you. And we've been hearing Pastor Ron talk about it a lot. God's still in the miracle working business. Always remember that. It comes in different forms and different ways. Miracles from God's and blessings. So I want us to look at 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to read 1 through 7. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elijah. Listen to this. Let me stop right there. This woman, she knew Elijah. I don't say just let anybody in your home. But this woman allowed Elijah to come through her door. She let him come in. She knew about him being that man of God. And your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me. What do you have? I love this. What do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she went from him, and she shut the door behind her. And her sons, they were bringing the vessels. When the vessels were coming, the oil kept pouring. Vessels to her. Listen to this. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not one vessel more. And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. See what she did? She was connected to God. She didn't question the miracle. I love that. She allowed that man of God to come in and give her a word from God. And it sounded, I like what he said, what do you got? You know God's telling somebody right now, what do you got? Just what do you got? I can work with you. You're on drugs? Come, what do you got? You got depression? Come. What do you got? Marriage is falling? Come. Come. What do you got? When that man of God walked into that house, walked through that door, I love what he said, what do you got? And that's God speaking to somebody today. What do you got? He wants to pour. Pastor Josh just preached about the anointing. He wants to pour that oil that represents the anointing of God in your life. That's what he wants to do. Hey, I hope that you came in here encouraged and understanding God will use you just like a broken vessel like you are. Some of us. The Bible said that he's the potter and we're the clay. You ever watch that on TV? When they're making those beautiful statues, they're not beautiful when they're making them, are they? Pieces flying everywhere. But let me tell you, if he's the potter and we the clay, he's going to make a masterpiece out of you. Amen. He's going to make a masterpiece out of you if you just allow him to come as you are. You are the vessel God wants to bless. I'll put right here, God's not always going to show us how the miracle is going to take place in our life. We got to remember that one. God's not always going to show us how he's going to bless us or if it's a medical condition that he's going to heal us. But listen to this. But he does want to have our hearts prepared what he is about to do. I'm going to paraphrase this, but a lot of us that are Bible readers or if you grew up in church, you always heard the story of Moses in Egypt, right? We see Moses. Moses grew up in Egypt around a lot of sin. But you know what's amazing? If you read that story, his mother was still able to raise him. And she would probably just sit there and tell him all about God and all the miracles. And we've seen as Moses grew older and he was part of that Egyptian life, God started speaking to Moses. Free my people, Moses. He spoke to him, you need to free my people. And little by little, as Moses was preparing his heart to trust in God, that the great I am told him what to do, he did it. And we know the story, he went to Pharaoh and plague after plague, and eventually Pharaoh wasn't giving in. And guess what happened? God hardened his heart. No matter all those miracles that were taking place, then all of a sudden, the Israelites that were in bondage for so long were set free. But listen what happened. A lot of us know the story. They wandered for 40 years in a wilderness. We've heard this story. 40 years. They couldn't even miracles that they've seen, the sea parting and all the miracles that God used more, they still were lost. And listen to this. I'll put this right here. The Israelites spent 40 years on a journey that should have lasted 11 days. Listen to this. That is a tragedy. It wasn't the distance of the journey that delayed their arrival. Listen to this. Rather in that, it was the path that they took. It was the path that they took that in 11 days could have been done. But it was that path that they still wanted. Egypt, that lifestyle, they still had that in them. They didn't trust in God to remove all that stuff from them. And look at this in Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Listen to this. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. Listen to this. And there are many who enter through it. Enter through the gate. Listen to this. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are a few who find it. A few. He's saying narrow is the gate that gives you life. The narrow gate. You know what that means? It's the gate that you can stay more focused. Right? You can stay more focused in the narrow gate. See, I like watching golf. And if some of you are familiar with it, Tiger Woods will do something. But a lot of people don't know what it means. He'll do this. He'll go down and he'll look at a putt. A psychiatrist taught him that. It's called tunnel vision. To get all the other distractions, the side distractions, away from him. And one time he said he was so focused that when he got to the golf course, he didn't even have to do that anymore. He didn't see anybody and it scared him. Narrow is the gate. Narrow is the gate. See, the wide, broad gate, that pleasure of sin sometimes that is just taking us, it's like there's too much to bear. So people are saying this and people are doing that. We've seen it during the pandemic that it was wide and people were saying all kinds of stuff. It seemed like it was easy for some people to walk away from God. But then there's some of those men and women of God, and hopefully it's some of you, that kept your focus on God. Kept that narrow gate focus on God and saying, you know what, God, help me to walk this narrow gate, the gate that gives me life. Give God some praise in this place, because that's what he wants to do tonight. Amen. Amen. So now we're going to get to Acts chapter 12. Let me encourage you, especially new believers. Acts chapter 12, please. If you're not a Bible reader, please become one tonight. Please, I shouldn't have to ask, please, but please, it will change your life. It's the only instruction manual God has given us. There's no secrets in it. It's all truth. He's going to tell you how to live this life and serve Jesus. He's going to teach you how to walk with him through adversity. He's going to teach you how to walk with him when you're on the mountaintop. He's going to teach you how to make decisions. The Holy Spirit's going to live inside of you and help you to become that man and woman of God, that clay that I was talking about, that fullness of God. He wants to help you become that person. We don't just give those bookmarks just so you can say you read your Bible. No, we give them to you to encourage you because we know it'll change your life. So I encourage you. So we look in the book of Acts. If you're familiar with the book of Acts, one of my favorite books in the Bible, it's the beginning of the church. And we've been going through the book of Acts on these Wednesdays. It's the beginning of the church. We see persecution taking place. At the same time, we see miracle signs and wonders taking place through the hands of all the apostles. But there's what comes sometimes, there's good, there could be bad. And we see a lot of Christians getting killed. And we'll see it in this chapter, what's taking place. We're seeing real persecution. And like I talked about earlier, we experienced some during the pandemic. But now these men and women of God, they were experiencing Christians getting murdered. So I'm going to go ahead and read this chapter, and we'll go over it together. Now, about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of the soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made intensely by the church to God. Intensely, remember that word. Next verse, please. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping. Remember that word. Between two soldiers bound with two chains and guards in front of the door where watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and woke him up saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself, put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Now catch this. When he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." Isn't that amazing? But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, "It is an angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Now we're going to talk about that chapter. We see many things taking place in that chapter. Many things. We see prayer meetings going on. We see chains being broken. We see unbelief taking place a little bit. We see discouragement. We see it all in that chapter. But I want to start with this. I do have one of my number one PowerPoints right here. Put that up. Determination. We see here when they were praying, they used the word intensely. Let me explain to you what that word is. It is with great effort or determination to a great degree. They had determination. They were praying. The Bible worded it intensely. They were praying. They were praying and praying. It's like when Jesus was praying and blood was dripping. He was in stress of praying intensely for us. And you know, sometimes that's what it takes. It takes more than "God bless my food in Jesus' name." No, it says, "God, I want to see a miracle, Lord. I'm going to intensely get into this prayer. I'm just not going to make it a ritual." Sometimes, I'm telling you guys, we got to be determined for God to move, and he will. But we can't give up. We can't throw in the towel. We can't allow another pandemic for us to allow that wide gate that looks better. We got to keep focused in that narrow gate that brings us life and brings us eternity. So determination, we got to come to a place to get determined. I always tell people, I say, hey, Pastor Tom, he told me one time when I used to be excited for working out, he said, if we get rid of that motivation, you better get disciplined. Because when you discipline, you'll keep doing it when you don't want to do it. And ain't that is that not a fruit of the Spirit? What is it? Self what? Discipline. When you start getting close to God, guess what starts happening? You start getting a little self-discipline in your life. And guess what happens with that self-discipline? You start getting a little determination in your life. You ain't scared when everybody else is praising God, sitting there with your hands down. No, you're praising God for miracles already when you're coming in this place. I don't have to ask, please, to read your Bible. You're determined, and you can't wait to wake up to read that Bible. Amen. You get to know Jesus a little bit better. You're determined, and you can't wait to tell somebody about Jesus. When you get that determination and that drive in you and that passion in you. So we've seen they were intensely praying with determination. Number two, I put this right here. Isn't this amazing? Number two, having peace. Listen, having peace. Listen, I don't know if you know this. 25 million Americans, one in five adults suffer from some kind of sleep disorder. And I know sometimes it's medical, but did you know what the number one factor is? I bet you can guess. Stress and worry. 25 million. So if you're sitting by five people, one of you got a sleeping disorder. That's what the statistics is saying. But did any of us recognize that Peter was in a deep sleep? His friend James just got killed. Then he has the prayer team that is intensely praying, probably praying that Peter don't get killed, right? But guess what he was doing? He was sleeping. He wasn't just sleeping. He was sleeping with chains on. He was bound with chains and bondage sleeping. Because he understood the peace of God. Do you know all of us can go home and have a peaceful night's sleep if we understand who God is and what he can do in our life? We really can. We really can. And listen to this. I'll put this right here. That the Bible says that he gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't know if you've experienced that yet. I've experienced it many times. That did you know he's the Prince of Peace? That I don't care what you're going through right now, he can give you peace in that storm right now today. I don't care what you're going, if you feel like Peter, spiritually just bound by chains, in bondage, not even knowing if you're going to make it the next hour, God can give you peace in the storm. Amen. That's what I do know, that he can give you that peace that surpasses all understanding. I put it right there too, when you face adversity. But here it is, pray for that peace intensely. If you're struggling with that, pray for it. Don't give up. Don't stop. Maybe tonight you might not still go home, but pray. Don't stop praying intensely. God, what Pastor Al said, give me that peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, I'm going by your word. You say you're the Prince of Peace. I'm not going to stop praying for that. Number three, I put this right here. We see James is killed, and we'd be like, what kind of plan was that? No, there's all things work together for the good who loves God. God still had a plan for Peter. Bound in chains, should have died. But God wasn't finished with him yet. And let me tell you something. God ain't finished with you yet. God has a plan for your life. God wants to do something through you. Like we've seen with that widow lady. You're the vessel with that oil, and he wants to use you. So don't ever forget, God has a plan for your life. I'll put right here. Believe. I just put believe. So now we get to this door. They're praying intensely for a miracle to take place in Peter's life. A miracle. Intensely. James just got, and I don't doubt them that they could have got some doubt. The apostles just got murdered. One of the disciples just got killed. So that's probably where that intensely was like. They're probably begging God, not Peter. And the next thing you know, he's captured. And guess what happens? They're praying and praying. And I like that old servant wrote it here. Peter's out. He finally comes to his senses like, oh, man, that was real. Okay, I know where I'm going. And all of a sudden, the miracle's knocking at the door. And we see that servant wrote it. She goes. She got so much joy, she didn't open the door. The Bible says she took off. Hey, Peter's at the door. And guess what they kept doing? They kept praying. That's a good thing. But somewhere in that, they lost focus of what they were praying for.
The miracle was at the door. They almost missed it. And they even told her she's out of her mind. Let it go. And she went back and she heard Peter. And she went back and she kept telling them, no, Peter's at the door. And how many of us, I encourage you, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ Jesus. Don't let the devil lie to you no more. You're so close to that miracle knocking at the door. You're praying intensely. I'm just telling you, don't give up. If you're going through hell, they say, keep going. Don't stop there, right? Ain't that what they say? Let me tell you, I'm sure you guys heard this before. God's not a microwavable God. He's a crock pot God. I know some of us millennial, we throw everything in. But let me tell you, eat some good old crock pot food. You probably won't use that microwave again. Is that right, Dinger? So think about that. He's not a mic. See, I can go to Google and find every answer for God, or I can read the Bible, and I can pray intensely, and I can ask God to give me a vision and speak to me. See the difference there? I can go to Google, and I'm not docking Google and all that. I go to that to find stuff real quick. But see the difference? Microwave, oh, I found the answer. Crock pot. I've been reading this scripture for 5 years, God. I'm going to believe in that miracle. I'm going to believe in my children will be saved, God. I've been believing this miracle is going to, something's going to happen in this marriage, God. This healing, God. Maybe I'm not healed today, God, but I'm going to intensely keep praying and praying, God. And I'm going to wait, God. I'm not going to run away from that miracle at that door. Give God some praise in this place. Amen. Come on, somebody. All right. So we see the miracle was at the, and thank God. They finally opened that door to Peter. You know why? Because they got to experience the miracle that they were intensely praying for. So don't give up. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Very familiar Bible verse. Very familiar. Listen to this. This is Jesus talking. But you got to remember, he was going church to church in the book of Revelation. A lot of stuff was taking place. There was churches that were on fire. And then there's the one, Laodicea, a little lukewarm, a lot of lukewarmness. Lost their first love. It happened. Somebody, let me tell you, I've been there. I was serving God, reaching the lost at every cost. And then out of nowhere, guess what happened to these things? To Pastor Al, little by little. Discouragement, boom. A little bit of insecurity, boom. Not reading my word as much, boom. Next thing you know, no passion, no desire, no drive. Not telling people about Jesus no more, trying to avoid people all the time. And just, it happens. It can happen. It happens, and it happens that quick. Listen to Jesus, what he says here. Let's go up Revelations, please. Revelations 3:20, please. Behold, I stand at the what? Door and what? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him and he with me. Keep that verse up there, please, in the back. Jesus is knocking. He's knocking at your heart today, somebody, right now. He's speaking to you. He's saying, come on, just let me in. I could do something with that depression. You got to let me in, though. I could heal that marriage, but you got to let me in. I give you salvation today, eternity today, hope, joy, peace, patience. I give it all to you. But you got to open that door to Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and there is no other way. We here at Valley Bible, we know no other way but the name of Jesus, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. We know no other way. He's the way. So right now, guys, don't be ashamed. Don't let the devil lie to you. He's knocking at my heart today. I'm like, God, come, let me rededicate some stuff to you, Lord. Let those blinders be a little bit more focused, God. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants to do something great in you. And we see that last time I was up here, we talked about Naaman. That was another miracle story, didn't we? He almost lost the miracle. He almost didn't allow the door to be open to the miracle because it was something so unusual. Dip in a river? Huh? Go get some pots and oil? Huh? What? You mean just open up the altar and come up here and something spiritually can take place? Absolutely. Give God some praise in this house. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody on their feet, we're going to pray. I'm going to call that prayer team up here. I'm not long-winded, but we get to the business and we're going to pray and believe. that God is going to do a miracle, that he's knocking at the door right now. And I believe today, many of us are going to say, Jesus, come on in. Father God, I pray in the name that is above every name right now, Jesus, that God, you're knocking at some of our hearts for so many, not even just eternity, Lord, but I do pray right now, Lord. Romans 10:9 says, if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. So whoever I'm talking to, right where you're at, you don't be ashamed. You confess him as Lord. Then you come up here to this altar and you get saved and you get born again. Then I pray, God, right now, God, we open up the door to healing, God. You're a miracle working, God. If it's directing us to a doctor, God, or if it's coming to this altar, Lord, and supernaturally healing us, God, I'm coming to that altar. I'm opening up my heart to that, God. My kids are astray, Lord. You don't understand. I've been intentionally praying and praying, God. That altar's open like that, though. I'm coming to that altar today. I'm praying, God. I'm intentionally going to believe in your miracles, God. God, that doctor gave me a bad report, but this altar's open for you. He wants to do some miracle. He wants to give you some wisdom and some direction. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus right now, Lord. Open up our hearts to you, Lord. This message, miracle at your door, Lord. It's our heart. It's our mind, God. I pray for marriages. I pray for people in their healing, for physical, mentally, and spiritually, Lord. I rebuke depression and send it back to the pits of hell where it belongs. And I pray peace that surpasses all understanding upon everybody in this place right now. So we thank you, God, and we give you the glory. Don't let no one here leave, Lord, out those doors without more hope, more faith, more peace, more confidence, more drive, more encouragement, more intensity. In Jesus' name, give God the biggest praise in this place. Amen. 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 God bless you. We love you at Valley Bible Fellowship. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our Lord.